With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by The Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, cause now I'm getting hot enough to fuck with one of Satan home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. Here we are. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is March 15th. It's a good Friday, y'all. It's a good Friday because your University of Memphis Tigers are in action down at the AAC tournament, down at FedEx Forum in the quarterfinals, obviously going to be taking on a very good UCF team. Here we are. We all expected, the sort of the outcome yesterday. Knew the Tigers would roll through Tulane. Had hoped, some debacle would not occur. But kind of at a spot we all thought we would be. Now's the time where we don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's kind of
where
it really begins. And it will do that today at 1 o'clock down at FedEx Forum. We are ready. And John Martin, are you ready?
When you say we are ready, that has
now 1 o'clock probably
more meanings than one. Because let me tell you something. I got in today around 9:45. You had just wrapped up your segment with Jeff Calkins. And I don't want to speak out of turn here. But I assume you were walking out to partake in a puff of the black and mild smoke.
Yeah,
and
after those Calkins segments.
And much like the way we ran into Ernie Kuiper of Hoop City Basketball Club when we were leaving the forum yesterday.
Yep.
That's kind of how we ran into each other today at the office.
Good to see Ernie yesterday.
And I was stopped in my tracks, ladies and gentlemen, because while everybody yesterday was focused on what I was wearing. Which was a suit from James Davis with, of course,
you looked good for Tulane.
Ferragamo belt. Let's be honest. I look better than Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah.
You brought it yesterday for Tulane.
Yes, I did. You have brought it today for UCF. And I was stopped in my tracks today by your wardrobe.
It's not like that, y'all.
I took a little bit of a step back. I dialed it down a little bit, right? This is the second game in 2 days.
Novice.
You have ramped it up today, Grandpa. You are no longer Grandpa. You are now Sexy Dad.
Well, let me tell you how you cover an AAC tournament, young man. What you do is you start out, John, you start out a little casual for a Tulane game, right?
Yeah.
And then you ratchet it up as the games get bigger.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, while you're pimped out in James Davis suit for Tulane, again, a game that we pretty much knew what the outcome would be, what was I in? Just a pullover, regular button-down shirt, right?
Yes.
Casual jeans yesterday.
Jeans.
That is what a veteran spends on Tulane
in terms of
wardrobe. No more games. And today, John, today they'll play a much better UCF team. And so as John has noted, I brought it up a little bit. Got the press slacks on.
Yes.
Got the sweater on. Still got the button down. You see no sport jacket. You don't see a James Davis suit yet.
No.
You would do that if you get to tomorrow and the next day.
Tomorrow's a jacket game.
So, again, Grandpa having to school the young man. But we're all going to do it together. We're all going to do it together.
Like I said, this ain't...
It's all for one.
This ain't Grandpa anymore. This is Sexy Dad out on the town on Saturday night for the first time in a long time.
Sexy Dad. That seems... No, I don't like that vision.
That is... That's
that dude ain't cool.
No, Sexy Dad.
That dude is not cool.
Yes,
he's trying
he
to be
is.
Something he's not.
No,
that
no.
That dude you're talking about trying to be something he's not.
It's a... What is it? It's like a... It's a royal blue. Tommy Hilfiger pullover, right? Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, I'm. Yeah, I don't know. If it's pullover. This is a nice sweater.
Oh, sweater.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Very nice sweater.
Yeah, and what's the dress shirt?
I think a Tommy dress shirt
as well.
Well, of course, that's how you do it. You keep it together. Now, let's talk about the other side. Whereas John wears James Davis to Tulane for today's bigger game against a UCF team. John, tell them what you've got on.
Well, today we've got a Vineyard Vines polo. This is a Vineyard Vines polo. These are Lucky Brand khakis.
Right. Shirt's untucked.
Shirt is untucked.
John looks ready today, y'all, for Tulane.
That's right.
There you go.
John.
Now, hold on. The socks,
you got to do better.
The socks are Vineyard Vines.
We know you go hard on your socks.
And the shoes are Cole Haan.
You look fine. You pick it up as
you're right,
you get where
right.
I'm coming from.
I've gone the wrong direction.
Yeah, man. I think you've done tournaments before. It's just been too... John, we're just going to chalk it up to it been so long.
If they make it to tomorrow, I'm going to look homeless. The way this is going. This is a reverse Benjamin Button. So, it is a big game today for the University of Memphis, and one of us is dressed appropriately for the occasion. Memphis taking on UCF, scheduled to tip off at 1 o'clock. It will not tip off.
Oh, they won't even be close with that. Forget that.
But obviously, this is the game that Penny Hardaway has said is the biggest game of the season. We will get to that in just one moment. Here's what we've got going on the show today, by the way. The first game of the day has tipped off down at FedEx Forum. Houston has jumped out to a 6-0 lead on Connecticut. So if you are hoping and praying for an upset, right, so you didn't have to see Houston tomorrow, early on at least, it looks like that will not happen.
Oh, it's 6-0.
I know, but, dude, Houston's going to blow the doors off
them. I have a feeling UConn's going to play well. I'm not saying they're going to win, but hopefully they give them a little nice little run, take something out of Houston.
I mean, test them a little bit. Jeez. Yeah,
look, you got Jalen Adams back.
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen Adams, when healthy, is a conference player of the year type talent as a senior. So they got him back. You put him with Vital. They can make a run. They got good guards, but you don't expect them to win. But at least give them a good game. I think they'll play well today.
Yeah, so now it's 8-0. Anyway.
Oh, man.
It's not going the right direction, much like my wardrobe. Here's what we got going on the show today. At 11:25, Sean Salisbury is going to join us. We will talk to him about the NFL. The NFL is drunk. I mean, you have uncharacteristically seen lots of money being thrown around,
right.
Lots of deals being made. For top-flight wide receivers in both cases, you just don't normally see that in the NFL, more of a conservative league. Not anymore. So we will talk to Sean Salisbury about his winners, his losers, what he thinks about the moves the Titans made.
Can put a bow on the week for us real quick.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we will talk to Sean Salisbury, our man on the NFL, about all of that at 11:25. 12:25, we're going to be joined by Gary Parrish. Javonte Smart is back, ladies and gentlemen. How about that?
Well, Wade is not.
Are you surprised?
Yes.
I'm surprised, too. You know, because I think, clearly there is a difference, though. I mean, Javonte Smart's been cooperating. Will Wade is not.
Right.
You know, and if you feel like you're going to get – if all things are equal and you feel like you're going to get the season vacated anyway and one guy is cooperating and the other's not, you might as well just put the guy who's cooperating back in so you can at least say, well, he cooperated, you know, if all things are going to be equal anyway.
I guess. It's the first time we're seeing this sort of happen in real time. This is happening. So I don't know that there's any rules to it. I just keep going back to – if I'm a team that's a lower-seeded team against them, you know, outside the Power Five, and they beat me in the tournament, with Javonte Smart going off, a guy who I think's, you know, probably done a deal. Anyway, I know college basketball like that, but he's got his coach talking about him on tape. I'm a little, you know, I'm feeling a certain way about that. If I'm LSU, though, I'm doing what you say. I mean, we've talked about this. Of course, you're going to make them take it from us, right? That's what you do, and that's what you'd say if you were a Memphis fan. So I get where they're coming from. But, man, as far as putting him back in, if I'm one of those other teams that loses to him and Javonte Smart's had a big hand in it, I wouldn't be too happy about it.
No doubt. So we'll talk to Gary Parrish about that, Will Wade, Tigers, and more at 12:25. Then in the third hour, here's what's going to happen. I am going to mosey down to FedEx Forum to cover the game. You are going to hold the fort down here at Intercom Memphis. Sed Henderson and Sed Jr. are going to be in studio around 1 o'clock, and then I will join you from the forum as soon as they're out of here, just to give you a scene, right?
Because I think you'll be setting the scene. That game
Yesterday they didn't get started till what, 2:30, 2:40?
It was later, for sure, yeah.
And again, you didn't have an overtime game in the first one. We talked about it. These things are on these two-hour stretches. It just seems silly to say you're going to start a game at noon, then at 2. You're going to start a game at 11, then at 1, because it just doesn't work that way. These tournament games typically go longer. Didn't even have an overtime again, and yesterday you were over. So I say all that to say you'll probably have Tiger's tip, you know, 1:30.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You know, 1:40.
That sounds we'll right. See. So anyway, that is the show today. Houston is up on UConn 13-5. We will keep you updated.
Bro, Corey Davis Jr. for Houston has his pants rolled all the way up. It looks like he's wearing Daisy Dukes.
Well, that's the new style, man. I mean, Kareem Brewton rolls his shorts up, or at least one side of his shorts.
You know, yeah, I don't know about that look.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new wave.
I asked him about it, and he said, I just do it. But I think, was it you told me, or his girlfriend does
his
it,
girl,
too?
He has his girl.
So it's a,
I mean, I don't know.
It's a love and basketball thing.
I don't
know. He didn't tell me that.
I don't want to be speaking out of turn here because, you know, relationships can change. But last I saw, like, there was a picture he posted on his Instagram of himself and his girlfriend at the women's over on the women's basketball side of things. They both
I think that's cool.
Rolled their shorts up.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the show to
no Daisy Day stuff though.
Yeah. Later today, the University of Memphis will play what Penny Hardaway deems to be their biggest game of the season. Ladies and gentlemen, we can confirm Tulane is god awful. They are an absolute abomination of the sport of college basketball. Even when they pulled it to single digits yesterday, there was no feeling like that was ever going to be in doubt.
I have to admit, I was a little shocked when I didn't see Gary tweeting at halftime that Mike Dunleavy had been let go.
Well, yeah, because he probably will be,
like
ultimately.
He did with Conroy.
Even their freaking, you know, because it's the conference tournament, so you get to see both intro videos. Like, even their intro video was boring. It's just like, It's like Lil Wayne. I mean, so at least they went with the New Orleans rapper, but it is just boring and uninspiring. So yes, Memphis survives and advances against Tulane. They in the season, I'm assuming no NCAA tournament for them. They end the season with a 21st straight loss. I believe that is the longest losing streak in America. So congratulations to Tulane. Memphis gets by. And they don't need 40 from Jeremiah to do it. Which brings us to today, Jason.
Yes.
The quarters against Central Florida, NCAA tournament bound Central Florida, who you've split with this year.
Uh-huh.
Memphis is a 3.5-point underdog.
It's up to 3.5 now.
We're going to need some Luther. We're going to need some Luther if we want to get past this one. We're going to need some help here. From the heavens.
Oh, John.
I'm worried. I don't know
that it'll require divine intervention.
I think it is. I'm worried. I'm putting it out there. I'm putting that into the universe. I'm nervous.
Well, this ain't the song to be playing when you're worried and scared, young man.
I'm hoping that Luther will inspire me to not be scared. But I am, much like when it comes to the Titans and the playoffs and their push, I am scared.
Tell us why you're scared, young man.
Because Memphis has only won one game the entire season where they are the underdogs. And that was on the road.
Is that true?
And that was on the road at Wichita State last month. That's why I'm worried. Vegas has been pretty much dead on when it comes to the University of Memphis all year long. They've won one game where they were the underdog, and they've lost one game when they were favored. So Vegas has pretty much pegged them right. And now, I mean, as we talked about, UCF is playing their best basketball of the season. Memphis did not look great yesterday. I mean, they ran off on Tulane to start the game, but they didn't look great to me. So I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about this game.
Well, calm down, young man.
What you got for me, Grandpa?
Listen, do you not remember what Memphis did to UCF here back in January?
Yes.
They won by 20 and made UCF look pretty pedestrian, did they not?
Yes,
they did. We said it was one of their, if not best, one of the two or three best all-around performances by the team.
At that time,
I
don't remember if we said it was a signature win or a marquee win. Which one? I think we said it was a marquee.
We said marquee because, signatures.
Marquee
signatures
win.
Signatures, for me, has got to include a ranked team in that.
Yes.
And you know what the difference was in that game? The difference was, I'm just going to boil this down for you guys so that when you're watching today's game, you can be watching this because I think it'll have a big impact on who wins. In that game at Memphis, that, again, the Tigers won by 20, 77-57, You barely put UCF on the free throw line. John, both teams in that game shot just 14 free throws. Memphis is not a team that gets to the free throw line a lot.
You're right.
But in some games this year, the other team has gotten to the free throw line a bunch, and you've seen a discrepancy there. John, when they beat Memphis down in Orlando by 7, they shot 30 free throws and made 25 of them. Again, Memphis, right around where it usually is, 13, 14. I think they were 12 or 14 in that game, 13 or 16. I don't have it in front of me. But that was the difference. And here's the deal. B.J. Taylor, their senior guard, one of the best in the country at getting to the free throw line. And in the first game, you only let him get there 2 times.
Yeah.
Okay? In that first game, B.J. Taylor, I think, had 10. Taco Fall, only 7 or 9 points. And Aubrey Dawkins, the coach's son, obviously, does next to nothing. They were fantastic down there. And yet you were still in that game by 7, the difference being at the free throw line.
Yep.
This is a UCF team, y'all. Watch it. That thrives at getting chances and opportunities at the free throw line and converting them. And in a lot of opportunities, it's in a lot of games, it's been the difference. Houston would have beat UCF if it makes its free throws in that game. Houston, a usually good free throw shooting team. This is a UCF team that if you allow B.J. Taylor to constantly get the foul calls and get inside on you, get to the free throw line, they can beat you there. If you don't,
yep.
And you suspect, since it's at FedEx Forum,
yep.
right, that you wouldn't have some huge discrepancy. Now, I know we saw one with Tennessee. You would expect that to be relatively even.
Yep.
And if it is, there's no way that Memphis isn't in this game and with a chance to win.
The you know, obviously, you think back to the first game when Memphis just ran off on UCF. The clear game plan was to attack Taco Fall. That's what they did. They'd get
and
him
had
in
7 points.
Yep, they'd get him in downhill situations. They'd run him off. They'd run a guard off a screen, and they'd match up Jeremiah with him. They just drive downhill and they go right at him. And I think that really threw UCF off because they weren't used to Memphis doing that. Right,
mm-hmm.
Memphis is a smaller team, a much smaller team than UCF. So, you know, maybe, you know, it was a close game in Orlando, right? Like you said, the free throw
7-point game. I'm telling you, the free throw discrepancy was the difference in the game.
And they had a chance there late. Aubrey Dawkins hit a massive shot, if I recall correctly.
He scored.
Put him up one, I think.
Uh-huh. He was great for them in the second half.
Yes, he was.
And it is what kept the Tigers at bay. If I'm not mistaken, the second half was even. They both scored the same amount of points. Can't remember exactly what it was. But they played them exactly even. That was because Aubrey Dawkins was finally hitting shots for
yeah.
them in the second half.
I don't think UCF is a markedly better team than Memphis. I don't want that to come across.
Mm-mm.
But
that's why I'm telling you.
My
don't
fear
be so
is just
scared.
Vegas has just had such a vice grip on Memphis this year, and because Memphis was favored in that first game against UCF,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they weren't on the road. So I just worry that they just have a feel for this team and
again. Game one at Memphis, Tigers win by 20.
Yep.
B.J. Taylor scores 10 points, only gets 2 of them at the free throw line,
yep.
2 of 2. Game two, he scores 25 points down there. You only lose this one by 7.
Yep.
He's 12 of 14 at the free throw line. You lose that game by 7. You converted 13 of your 16. They converted 25 of their 30
yep.
down there. That is a 12-point difference.
It is.
And the difference in the game. You keep them off the free throw line today. And I say all that to say this, all except for one guy. All except for one UCF guy that I would put on the free throw line every dang time, and his name is Taco Fall. Look, they talked about it in the locker room after the win over Tulane yesterday. You're already moving it forward to, hey, what do you have to do against UCF? And Mike Parks told us, because everybody can see it,
right.
Taco Fall, the big 7'6 center, markedly improved from the time he got there. Still has a tendency, though, to bring that ball down, John
yep.
Martin.
Yep.
He will bring that ball down to where guys can get it. And you will see Memphis, just like they did in that first game, attack him when he does that. Here's the other thing. If I'm Memphis, man, I don't care if it's Eno. I don't care if it's Isaiah Maurice. I'm using my fouls today.
Yep.
Especially if he gets rolling on Taco Fall. This is a player who at 7'6 shoots 36% from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one weakness for UCF when it comes to free throw line. I'd have him, particularly if he gets rolling and I need to stop him, I'd be putting him on the line. Do not let Taco Fall come in here and get 20 and 10. Foul him
yep.
and make him earn it. Again, this game, I think, will be won today at the free throw line and the number of chances that you allow UCF and whether or not you let Taco roll or you make him go earn it at that free throw line. They did that. That was the game plan in game one. I'm sure it was in game two. Well, game two, you're down there. They're getting the calls. That's out of your control.
Right.
I think we'll see closer to what game plan one was today. This is going to be a game I think is decided at the free throw line. it's going to be a close one. I don't think there's any way UCF comes in here and blows Memphis out.
Oh, I don't think that either.
Not on its own floor.
I just don't like the fact that they're coming in here playing their best basketball.
No question.
They picked up wins at Houston. They beat Cincinnati. You know, they did lose at Temple, but you know they are playing better and they're tournament team. So you know that's just the part of it I don't like.
Another key for them, and you'll want to keep an eye on this guy, sophomore forward Collin Smith, who has gotten better for them.
No doubt. He's been big time.
As the season has gone on. Didn't do much in either game against Memphis, but had 21-7 in their win at Houston.
Houston, yep.
And watch him, because he's been playing with more confidence. He's rebounding better. He's certainly capable at 6'11". Again, didn't hurt you. You're like, who, Jason? He didn't do anything to us in the first game. He's in the first two games. He's come on strong here down the stretch. And that he is a wild card. If you're Memphis,
is.
You do not want him doing what he did to Houston against you.
You didn't have to game plan
because he's been a non
for
him. Exactly. He's been
now
a non factor. Now you got to watch it. Collin Smith, sophomore forward.
What did you think of the crowd yesterday?
I was a little disappointed, but I understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I don't know.
That's the game.
I'm probably disappointed
probably
because I sat here and thought, you know, I figured you'd still at least have 9 or 10 in there still.
Right. They
just
did
because,
not have 9 or 10.
No, it was not that.
They will today.
Yeah, I would hope it's a little closer to that today. And then you have a monster scene if you get through. 100%. Like you and Jeff have said, you have a monster scene on Saturday.
Yes,
if you get through
Sunday,
against Houston.
Of course. But
we expect
my guess would be, like, if you're a Tiger fan and you actually have, like a real job, you probably said, you know what, Thursday, they're going to blow past Tulane. I don't need to take off for that. You know, Friday is the day I'm going to take off because it's going to be against a real opponent in UCF. Mm-hmm. That's the day where I need to be in the building. And so I would imagine that the crowd is, I'd say, probably almost doubly better today. Just because it's a Friday, easier to take on a Friday.
Better opponent. I mean,
better
come on,
opponent,
it's hard to go
down. You
know? I know you want to support
Tulane. And
they
have to win it. Like,
Tulane.
You can act like that. This is a toss-up game. You know what I'm saying? This is a
Ken Pom's got to project as a one-point UCF wins, which essentially says toss-up.
So it'd be an upset by every definition of the word if Memphis wins this game today.
Well, again, you're talking about one team that's in the NCAA tournament, one that is not.
Right.
And even with the advantage of playing here at Memphis, I'd still think with the way UCF has played, who they've knocked off here down the stretch, back-to-back wins over ranked opponents, you'd give them the edge.
Yeah,
if you're Vegas.
I mean, there's no question about it that, you know, with what you've got on, you are ready to inspire and motivate. You know, you will come down and you will arrive at FedEx Forum with a clear intention
of
willing them through to Saturday.
You just do a grandpa a small favor.
What's that?
You just have that pen when you're on press row there.
Uh-huh.
And you be paying attention to those free throws from me.
Okay.
So when you come back in here yesterday, you can say, Grandpa?
You didn't even come back in here yesterday.
Excuse me. When you come back in here on Monday, you say, Grandpa, you were exactly right. I'm really acting like Grandpa. Grandpa now. I'm losing my...
You are.
Grandpa, you're right. Free throws were the difference against UCF.
How about that?
We probably won't be talking about it because, again, if they get their UCF, we're talking about Houston and whether or not they
made
the tournament.
We'll be talking about the NCAA tournament, boss.
But don't forget Grandpa on this one, that he told you, watch the free throws.
It's going to come down to free
throws. This afternoon.
This is a virtue almost.
Don't forget
like.
Me on this one.
It's like you got to make your free throws. That's a virtue.
I know. I see Bennett over there. He's all bored. He's all bored with the statistical breakdown of the game.
Why are you bored, Bennett?
I am telling him where the game is going to be decided.
He's telling you where the game is
going to
be decided.
Keep UCF off the free throw line except for Taco Fall. Put him
in. You hear that?
I hear it.
Grandpa Jason says it's going to be decided.
I'm giving you the scout on this team right now.
The secret sauce.
Are you engaged? Are you feeling scared like John?
You're like Kevin over there, just not paying attention to the film.
Well, I'm engaged.
There's no feeling.
I'm keeping up with Houston, UConn, and UConn's back in this game. So I
told you.
You know,
what's the score right now?
It's 14-18, Houston.
Uh-oh. UConn making a little run.
Jalen Adams ain't trying to just go out like with a whimper.
You're right.
Like he's going to go out shooting all his bullets.
Uh-oh.
Dan Hurley lost his mind.
Well, that's regular.
When they went on a little run, I'm surprised he didn't get a technical.
I told you UConn's gonna play well today. Not saying they're gonna win. They're gonna give Houston
a
game.
What a gift it would be if UConn wins this game.
Oh
huh?
My goodness,
that would be such a gift. All right, we'll keep you updated on Memphis, on Houston and UConn throughout the show. When we come back, Sean Salisbury is gonna join us. We'll talk NFL with him, all the free agency moves and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It has been a very busy week in the NFL. Who better to bring on than our good buddy Sean Salisbury? He joins us now. Sean, what's happening, man?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you guys. I appreciate it.
As
appreciate
always.
College basketball tournament right around the corner. This is in baseball. I love this, so it's good to be on.
Me yeah, too. Always
appreciate
enjoy
you.
Having you on. All right, so it feels like the NFL has lost its mind a little bit. I mean, all these teams are throwing money around. They're making deals, whether it's the Browns, the Raiders. So far, since the free agency period has started, who is the big winner for Sean Salisbury?
Well, to me, there's some winners everywhere. We laughed at the Raiders when they did what they did with Mack and Cooper. Mm-hmm. And now they're starting to stockpile some veterans, and they get a starting tackle, they get a starting receiver. They've added a few other players, and they got a lot of draft pick to deal with. So maybe in the long run it'll work out for them, but they're still going to have to replace the pass rushers that they let go. But, you know, I think they're – I mean, when I look at the Jets, Le'Veon Bell, Crowder,
yep.
C.J. Mosley – almost had themselves Anthony Barr. That's with a good young quarterback, they're saying, let's build this thing around him and let's be competitive. So I do like the steps that they've made. When you got a running back like Bell, play action and respect for an offense has to come into play, which makes Darnold's job easier. Mosley's a full-blown stud. And so he's one of the great inside guys we have in the front seven and linebackers in the league. Great leadership. So I like that. And you got to love what the Browns, guys, think about the Browns last 18 months. Instead of taking the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, those don't work very often. Those two can make it work where you say, we don't need a lot of great players. We don't need to do a lot. We can let our guys go, but we got these guys, so we'll go win. That's usually not a recipe for winning. But those two freak shows at quarterback make it happen. And the coach, Bill Belichick, for 19 years has been doing it with Brady. Yeah. But I like a team that says, we got a great young quarterback. Well, should we let him see in Houston? We're wondering what's going on here. You got Deshaun Watson, who's a stud, mm-hmm. and we're saying, okay, where are the weapons coming from? Well, you didn't get the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes. You didn't really part of Antonio Brown. No Golden Tate. So what are we doing here? You can't just rely on that guy to keep carrying you offensively and hope the defense gets some stops. And you could throw the ball against the Texans last year. So
yep.
with the Browns, think about it, guys, over the last couple of years. Nick Chubb, they got Kareem Hunt this offseason. You draft – you get Jarvis Landry in an offseason deal. You go trade for Odell Beckham. You draft Baker Mayfield. You draft Myles Garrett. You draft David Njoku. You ship Jabril Peppers to get Beckham, but you've got Denzel Ward. You've got Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon. This is a team that decided – I've never seen a team – we've seen worse to first, like win a division, but I'm talking about a team that's gone out and said – the Rams spent some money on some big-time guys, but a team young that has gone from so far to the outhouse
yep.
where the Cleveland Browns have been, to jump right into the fray, and in 18 months, we're looking at them saying, well, they won some games last year, and now look what they're doing this year. They're not waiting around. They're being aggressive. They're in your face. They're going after it, and they're making moves that say, we're here to win, man. This isn't worth seeing 6 years and rebuilding, although if they build it like this, they'll be good in 6 years. But they've got guys under favorable contracts. They've got the quarterback in place. They've got their coach in place. Their new front office guy in place. This is a team that I'm telling you right now, if they're not a top three or four Super Bowl contender in the AFC, then I'm watching the wrong team. They're very dangerous, and I think they're the most intriguing team. Getting Beckham's a huge win.
No doubt.
Kareem Hunt, when you got him, you're going to deal with some of the backlash, but what's he missing 8 games, and you'll get him game 9. And then you think what they've done, Sheldon Richardson, they're shoring some things up. I think the Cleveland Browns are the biggest winner. Mm-hmm. Jets aren't far behind. And there's a few other teams that are sneaky good winners in this. And we're not done, but it feels like we're done. The losers, the Giants, I don't know what they're doing. I have zero idea. You lose Landon Collins. You lose Beckham. You add Golden Tate.
Yeah.
You don't really know what you're doing. I have zero idea what the Giants are doing. If they got a plan, they need to reveal it, because right now they're leaving all of us in question.
I don't understand. If you're talking about, shipping out Odell, bringing in Golden Tate, how does that help Saquon Barkley and pull guys out of the box right now for him? I don't understand what the plan is. Where's the football thinking?
Great point for me. Now, why wouldn't you do this? Well, you say we're not going to trade our best player. Yes, he's a little over-exuberant on the sidelines, but everybody says he's a great teammate in the locker room, that he works his ass off, all those things. So, you know, so if you have a little bit of a headache for a guy who takes a, gets a 15-yard penalty once in a while, well, we know teams that will deal with that because the results of the performance, his performance on the field has been pretty good his career, even though you'd like, man, just tone it down a little bit. You know, I know you're excited, but tone it down a little bit. That being said, think about this now. If you do keep Beckham, okay, you still got to deal with the quarterback, but you got a veteran. You have Barkley in the backfield, who we've seen is amazing. You got, what, Evan Engram. You've got Sterling Shepard.
Yep.
You've got Golden Tate. You've got Odell Beckham Jr. Now we're talking.
Yeah, okay. Giving Eli a chance
Now I can compete. Okay, now I can compete with you and stay in the game. But I get rid of one to get another. Now, Golden Tate's good after the catch and a good inside guy, but imagine how much better he'd be when all the coverage is rolling to Beckham.
Right.
He'd catch 100 balls in that offense.
Different offense
if Eli's protected.
Exactly.
So it makes no sense. It's almost as if they said, and remember when Gettleman said, hey, we didn't sign him to trade him.
Yeah, I don't think
Shermer,
I don't
know. There's so many questions. I'll tell you what, the Jets are the better team in town by far.
Agreed.
And the balance of power shifted in that town to the Jets, the dysfunctional teams, the Giants. I have zero idea what they're going to do. And I'm anxious to see, you know, it says Haskins, Haskins, Haskins. We'll see if they have the guts to pull the first-round quarterback trigger, which we thought they I thought they should have last year with Darnold, and they passed that up, too, for Barkley. But I can go 4-12 or 2-14 with a great running back, even though Barkley's special. I'm never going 2-14 with a great quarterback. I'm just not. The Jets weren't going 2-14 with Darnold last year. They're never going to do it. When somebody drafts Kyler Murray, if it's Arizona, they're not going to go 1-15 or 2-14. They'll win more than that. But I can always go with a great defensive player or a great wide receiver, 2-14. You ain't ever doing it with a quarterback. So they screwed the pooch last year, even though they got Barkley, who's special.
Yeah.
Imagine putting a quarterback with Barkley and then having Odell Beckham. Come on now, man.
Yep.
So I don't know what the Giants' plan is, but I do know teams have done some good things, and right at the forefront of that is the Jets with some of their offseason moves and commitment, and for sure the Browns, they're not messing around.
Couldn't agree more.
Sean, I want to go back to the Raiders because we're both Raiders guys. I think we obviously understand and see how the move with Antonio Brown is brilliant, right? Just a Hall of Famer in his prime. He's hungry. We know that. Let's talk about the other possibility, the other side of it. How will this not work?
Well, they stole it, guys, for a first and a fifth. The last 5 or 6 years, he's been the most productive receiver in the league. The guy's a monster on the field. Now, I get all the Twitter stuff. I don't get why he did it, but I get why somebody would say, come on, man, slow down on this, AB. You don't need to do all this. I mean, your performance is going to get – put it this way, I do believe that's part of the reason he only got a third and a fifth for him.
Yep.
I do. I think he devalued himself, but in the end, I don't think he cares because – what did he do? He may have devalued it for the Steelers. They got a third and fifth.
Right.
He goes and gets more money.
Got his.
While he's under contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers are stuck with $20-plus million of dead cap money. So the Steelers got hammered in this. Now, it's still the Steelers. They still got Smith-Schuster. They're still good. They still got Ben. But how it doesn't work in Oakland is if personalities don't mesh and John Gruden. And one thing about John gets a little fickle with players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. He did when he'd be his first time around as coach. He gets to the point where he loves them for a minute and then falls out of love in a hurry, and then they make some drastic moves in a hurry. And John likes power, and I don't mean that in a negative way. All coaches, we all have egos. But John likes it done right, the right way right now. And you heard him on his broadcast. He'll fall in love with 47 guys in the game. They're all going to the Pro Bowl. And then the next week, the guy will suck, and then it's like, I don't want him. So, for instance, are we sure right now? I'll tell you what could make it go, just to answer your question on the forefront, if they don't settle in on a quarterback immediately. Is John kind of committed to Derek Carr?
Yeah, that's the
thing.
Is
he really committed to Derek Carr? Or if they're not committed, I got news for you. At that position, if the coach is just kind of in – with the quarterback, you got to get rid of him.
He ain't in.
If that's how the coach, you got to get rid of him. Whether we think he should or not, you got to get rid of him. If you're in, then be all in. Get rid of this thought that, hey, we're going to go get Kyler Murray or we're going to go get Haskins, and go and let's get it on. That's the number one thing. Undecided at that position where you're like, what are we going to do? What's our offense? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? That would be it. The other way would be to screw this draft up.
Mm-hmm.
To the old school Raiders to draft Darius Hayward Bay because he's fast.
Yeah.
but he can't catch a cold. That would be it. And I think Mayock and John are smarter than that. Not that the kid wasn't a decent player in college, but they drafted him, did Al for speed.
Track star.
So you got to draft football players. Yeah. I want him to draft football players. So the number one thing, and if AB goes haywire and starts to say, man, I hate this more than I thought I would, and I don't think that'll happen this quick because he is hungry and he wants to go prove Pittsburgh wrong. So he'll probably be on his best behavior the whole year. I think the first thing would be the quarterback situation. You've got to settle in. And if the defense doesn't play better, John will get pissed. They can't keep up with Kansas City and the Chargers right now yet offensively. But if they get to a point where they can, then we're looking at something. But the quarterback and a defense that goes haywire, or John falling out of love with the quarterback in game two and then having no backup plan, that would be a mistake. They got to love Carr or whoever they get this offseason, and you got to build it and let's go. You can't be, well, we think so. Nothing worse than in late August wondering if he loves Derek Carr. John can't go into the season like that. That would destroy the Raiders.
Yeah, I agree. We are, of course, talking to the great Sean Salisbury, one of the best NFL analysts in the business, former NFL quarterback now doing radio in Houston. Le'Veon Bell took much less money guaranteed, it looks like, on the surface in New York with the Jets. Should he fire his agent? I mean, he's never going to recoup that money that he lost last year.
Never. And, you know, whether he fires his agent or not, but remember – let's backtrack a little bit. If you're a player and you give your agent the decision and the power to make these decisions for you, then you're a friggin' idiot.
Right.
I've always told him, this sounds power hungry. It's not. Yeah. The agent works for me. He's my agent. He doesn't make the decisions. I pay him to work for me. Mm-hmm. So with my agent, it's like, here you go. You do the best you can. You come back, present me what they offered. And I will simply tell you nope or yes, and I'll take your advice and then I'll make the decision. If you're trusting your agent to make every decision for you, or he's like, no, you got to take this or no, you don't. Dude, you got to do your due diligence as a player. So whenever I hear him, fire the agent. Now, if the agent sucks and you don't know that, or if he's great and you don't know that, then you probably got the wrong guy. You better know when you hire him what he does for you. Is he a bulldog? Does he go do his stuff, or she, if it's a female that's your agent? But I never let my agent dictate, well, Sean, you have to take this deal. No, dude, I don't. This is my career. I pay you a percentage, so the final answer is going to come from me. Le'Veon's the CEO in this. And so when everybody says fire the agent, now if the agent stole money from a different story. Or if you don't know after all this time your agent's good, then replace him. But I think he knows his agent, I think, wanted to represent him well. It's the dumbest holdout in history. Unless there's something that I'm not thinking about. It's as stupid as there is. He wanted $18-19 million because he wanted to be paid like a receiver running back. He misses $14 million on being franchised, sits out, now fresh legs, I guess, so he saved a year, but sits out, comes back, takes less than the Steelers offered him, and takes less than the franchise would have paid him, and he's going to a team in New York that's not as good a team. So where does he win? AB won because he got more money. This dude was a free agent and lost. AB was a guy who got traded and won. Now maybe he needs to go and call AB's agent and say, hey, can I hire you? So it's the dumbest holdout ever. What did he gain? Normally when you hold out, you're hoping you get more and somebody's going to give you that extra $10 or $14 million that you missed out on. He can't make that up. And plus, by the time this contract's over, he's going to be in his 30s. And he's not going to get another big $8, $15, $16 million deal. He's a productive back.
Right.
And the last time we saw him on the field, he's one of the best backs in the league. If he's that same guy, then the Jets got a great player for the next 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. The guy's a monster, but he can't get that $14 million back. If he was 21, he could. And playing baseball, well, you'd sign your second big contract 6 years from now. You'd make $300 million. But he isn't. He's a running back, which we dispose of those guys quicker than we should a lot of times. So yeah, whether it's his agent or him or together, but he overvalued himself and played the wrong set of cards. He should have folded them up last year, dealt with the salary of the franchise, taken that $14 million, and bolted this year and got out of town because they would have let him go. It's the Steeler way at times. And then he could have kept that $14 million and moved on without all this nonsense. He'll never make that money up. And I promise you, we all, at some point, whether it's $1 million, $100, $100,000, you look back and say, wouldn't it have been nice, you know, a stupid investment you make, or you spend something on a car you shouldn't have. You say, man, wouldn't it be nice to have that right now? You don't recoup $14 million as a running back at this stage of the game. It was the dumbest holdout ever. And yet I'm a big fan of Le'Veon Bell, but it was really, really stupid on the financial sense. But now he's got fresh legs and should be able to prove how hungry he is. And if he plays well, the Jets' offense will be better.
Sean, you mentioned Houston probably definitely hasn't done enough for Deshaun Watson, at least yet, to get him some more weapons. What have you thought of what Tennessee has done in that division? Adding Adam Humphries, Cameron Wake, I think a three-year deal. What have you thought of their moves?
They needed it, and they needed to do it, and they needed it. And we are, I am disappointed because I want to know what the next step for the Texans is and the burden they're putting on Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but I guess they're going to show us. But this is a team that in the offseason a lot of times gives us a little bit of roll our eyes. As far as Tennessee, they need it. They need more playmakers. You guys know that.
Yep.
On both sides of the ball. They do. And it comes down to this. When you load the playmakers up, now Mariota's got to learn, you know, LaFleur's gone, so it's another system change. And it may not be a system change, but another guy you refer to and talk to
right.
change. But Mariota's got to – I can't go into a season anymore at the end of the season coming out saying, what kind of player is Marcus going to be? You guys know how I feel about it. I love the kid. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But whether it's injuries or some inconsistency, because sometimes you look at him and say, this is a – what a unique, special player.
Yeah.
Then there's times you play a quarter – or you'll miss a game. It's like, gosh, I need him. Or he'll be inconsistent. They got to get him weapons, and they got to. Then we got to blow out the excuses and say, we're either going forward with this, or we're done with it and move it on. And it's not just on him, but when it comes to it, we know darn well that the quarterback's got to carry teams. If your stud quarterback doesn't play well, your chances of winning aren't very good most of the time in this league. Most of the time, unless you're a Ravens 2000 type defense. So I do believe they've upgraded. I do. Now, they, you know, whatever they're going to do in the draft and is continuing to get players, and Mike Vrabel knows this, but I need to see more consistency and more explosiveness on the offensive side of the ball.
No question.
I do. And it could keep up. The Colts, they got 90-some million left, man.
Yep.
They're hoarding their money right now, but they're going to be better. We know that. We already know. Think about the quarterbacks in the division. Jacksonville got better with Foles.
They did.
And they'll be better. They weren't good last year, but their defense is better than that. And they even still finished in, the top six or seven or whatever last year defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be better offensively. The Colts are really good with a great quarterback. Deshaun Watson's a great quarterback. So they could be 8-8 and be in fourth place.
Yeah.
So they've got to pick this up. They've got to get more weapons because Tennessee, there's too many good skilled players on that team. I mean, too many good players on that team for the skilled positions to hold them down. They've got to become more explosive, and I think they are. It's going to be a hell of a division to watch, I can tell you that.
Sure is.
It definitely is. Sean, man, you're the best in the business.
Thank you so much for
always this, enjoy catching up.
Guys, you're the best. Thanks for having me on. You know I'm here for you anytime. Appreciate you.
Sounds
appreciate
good.
You.
He
thanks,
is
man.
Sean Salisbury, NFL analyst, joins us during the NFL season. Hopefully we can have him back next year because he is definitely the best for when it comes to NFL analysis. I don't think there's a better guy out there. So I always enjoy having him on. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. GP going to join us at 12:25. We will talk to him about Javonte Smart being reinstated. He's back. Interesting development there for LSU. We'll talk to GP about it and more at 12:25. Back in a minute, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tournament going on down at FedEx Forum. We are officially at halftime in the first game of the day.
Houston, how are my Huskies doing?
The number one seeded Houston Cougars are up 14 on Connecticut.
Well, that's not really giving them a game, John.
UConn not doing Memphis any favors here so far. Looks like Houston is going to run away pretty easily with this one, at least through one half.
They want an easy win.
The problem with Dan Hurley's theatrics is that it's always the same thing. So when he goes in the locker room and he starts going in and saying, this is your season, this is the last game we're going to play this year, it's just the same thing he always does.
So you're not getting fired up?
Yeah, it's just the same thing as always. Yeah. So I don't really believe that this UConn team has it in them.
Oh, Jalen Adams may have a final say.
Man, I think you believe in Jalen Adams more than Hurley does. I mean, I think the guy's a fine player.
Jalen Adams is a good player.
He'll be a professional. And he is a senior.
Yeah.
But I think the
maybe it might be done.
The March run is a
good
over.
Team. Clearly better than everybody else.
For UConn. Obviously, if Houston wins that game, they will take on the winner of UCF and Memphis in the semis. So that will certainly be worth monitoring. All right. One thing we did not mention from the game yesterday, it was an expected win, a pretty ho-hum win for the University of Memphis. They got out to a big lead, ended up going on a little bit of a scoring drought there late in the second half. Tulane cut it to single digits, but never really threatened beyond that. But there was a very spectacular and amazing thing that happened in this game.
What's that?
Jeremiah Martin officially passed.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys are sitting down for this one. Officially passed Chris Douglas Roberts in the top 10 all-time scoring list at the University of Memphis yesterday.
Did you see Jeremiah Martin last night?
Man, pushed CDR. Now we know him as Supreme Bay down to 11.
That is crazy.
It is pretty crazy.
I mean, CDR was an All-American.
Correct.
And played in
3 years, but, you know, Jeremiah played four.
I mean, Jeremiah
played four,
but... You're
talking about All-American, guy who comes in as 397th prospect in the country in 2015.
Yes.
You know, basically two-star.
Yes.
I think they gave him three-star status when he committed to Memphis.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it is true. Jeremiah Martin did play 4 years, but he scored 79 points his freshman year.
Correct. Which is almost like a nothing season in this case.
It ain't like he had some major head start on
him. No, that's a good point.
He played three meaningful years. I mean, that's, you know, so this is kind of, you know, again, he averaged 13 minutes a game.
It's a hell of an accomplishment. We're just explaining why that you CDR, you know, 4 years if you're doing. And those teams a little bit more balanced and had more scoring around CDR as well. This one, the last 2 years, has clearly relied a ton on Jeremiah. That said, when you talk about where he's come from, yes, John, there's no question. It's remarkable what he's done. It's remarkable that this kid now, Jeremiah Martin, ranks in the top 10 now in scoring, as you mentioned. He did that last night passing CDR. And I pointed out to you guys, he's top 10 as well in assists and steals at Memphis and in free throws made. Matter of fact, can be more specific about it. He's 10th in assists. He is 5th in steals. I've told you, he is the first Tiger to lead this program in steals for three straight seasons since Antonio Anderson. And he is also 6th in free throws made at 411. It's phenomenal. There's no question about it. And when you start talking about, you know, the kinds of things he's doing, you're talking about him with some of the greats. With Antonio Anderson, he just passed CDR. You know, the first guy to lead the team in assists for three straight seasons since Antonio Burks. He does it all, and he was a guy who I think at one point when he came, you know, many of us, including myself, weren't expecting a lot from. And, well, he's become everything for this program.
Yeah, he has. It is insane to consider that Jeremiah Martin has officially passed a guy who has as decorated a career as Chris Douglas Roberts. It is interesting. Like, you just you go back in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he passed Antonio Anderson steals yesterday to move to fifth.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not just climbing the scoring charts.
I tweeted in April 2015 because I was looking up some other stuff, and I came across a tweet that I sent in April 2015, and I tweeted, from everything I've heard, Jeremiah Martin will at the least challenge incumbent Kedren Johnson for the starting spot. And it's just always funny.
Kedren Johnson.
Oh, Kedren. It's always funny to go back and revisit these things because I'm just looking at the responses that this tweet got. It didn't get a lot. Not a lot of people cared about Memphis Tiger basketball back then. I mean, it was at the end of Josh. People were checked out. It didn't matter as much.
Well, there was still a little hope with the Lawsons coming in. That
I guess you're right, a little bit.
It was the last hope,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, but it was a different vibe. But just some of the tweets that I got, I'll just read one here, or a few. This one is from Base-O-Matic. He's an unranked 155-pound guard with offers from UT Chat and Murray State. Hashtag desperation.
There you go.
Penny's number one fan. That's not saying much at all. Neither are high D1 talents. Just the state of where this program is these days under Opie. Skinny Steve said, really? What about Randall Brody? So, like,
which is essentially who he replaced.
That was the perception of Jeremiah Martin back in 2015.
Yeah, we're not exaggerating when we tell you nobody expected it.
Because that was when he committed. That was the season before he got here.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, really? Like, he's going to come in and challenge? Who is this guy? He's only a guy that's gone on to become top 10 in scoring, top 5 in steals.
Top 10 in assists.
One of the more.
Sixth in free throws made.
I mean, it's got to be one of the most unlikely college careers in the sport. I mean, as a guy who was headed to a much worse program, ends up changing his mind at the last minute,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have a role as a freshman much, right, and gets better exponentially year to year, and to finish where he finished. I mean, it's just it's incredible.
And look, this thing, you know, there was no guarantee it would get to where it has this year with Jeremiah, because you guys remember for a while there, it was up and down this season. You could tell in the body language of Jeremiah, he wasn't down with the way this thing was going. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure, and I've talked about this with Jeff a couple of times on.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.